Is a free resource available for all UMD students, faculty, and staff experiencing food insecurity. It is open 5 days a week from 10 to 5 and is located on the ground floor of the South Campus Dining Building, next to the Common Shop. You must swipe your university ID before entering and check out before leaving. Make sure to bring your own reusable bag. For more information, you can visit the UMD Campus Pantry website at campuspantry.umd.edu. That's campuspantry.umd.edu.
Hey everyone, this is Ari and you're listening to Halcyon Days. I am out of breath because I just had a lot of trouble getting into the building. As you know, it's Christmas Eve, and so I had to figure out how to get in here without swipe access. But it's okay. We're here. The show is on. And I'm very, very excited to be back on the air. It's been way too long. It's been, I guess, a year and a half since my very last show in May of 2024. And on top of that, I have a guest with me. Some of you who might have listened to my show in my senior year will know who this is already, but it's my dad. Say hi to everybody.
Hello, everyone.
And today we're going to be talking about glam metal, which is my favorite genre of music currently. We've got a lot planned, and so we'll jump right into it as soon as I log into Spotify. But do you want to go ahead and give a bit of background on the genre while I get set up?
So, Ariana called it glam metal. And I think it's only called glam metal now in retrospect. I guess the popular term now is hair metal, as evidenced by things like Sirius XM, where they've got a show called Hair Nation, or a channel called Hair Nation. Anyway, I lived this lifestyle during the 80s, and then it was just called heavy metal back then. You know, now there's many types of distinctions of heavy metal, but back then it was really just metal. But the metal that we're going to be talking about during this show was really the LA sound, the LA metal scene, which was probably the early 80s, but 84 is when it was at its apex, you know.
And you got to see a lot of these bands in their prime, too.
Yeah, Motley Crue, Rat, Great White, Dokken. These are all of the L.A. metal bands, as opposed to the British metal bands, which will be a subject for another show.
All right. We are going to jump right into the first track of today. This is a slow building track by Great White, and I have a strong emotional attachment to it because it was part of my post-grad summer soundtrack. One of the really important things to note about glam metal is that it's not all loud and heavy. There's this sort of duality in the music where you've got these hard-hitting, super strong rockers and then these ballads. Now, what's a ballad, you might ask? Well, these songs are slower tempo. They've got emotionally vulnerable lyrics, and they brought in the casual listeners, which is kind of what happened to me. But this song, Rock Me by Great White, starts like a ballad and ends like a hard hitter. So please enjoy.
Thank you. so good together. We had the time. Being alone was a nowhere state of mind. Ooh, loving ain't no climb. Oh no. See, your man ain't here. He don't care. Oh.
All right, we are closing out with Great White, leading right into the next track, Round and Round by Rat. Although Rock Me was a more low-key song, and Great White was kind of a low-key band, Rat was anything but. They were the quintessential sleazy Sunset Strip sound, but there's another band that technically did rule the strip. We'll talk about them later. Stephen Piercy, the lead singer of Rat, I think his voice is more of an acquired taste, but it is perfect for the band, in a sense. And Warren DeMartini, the lead guitarist, he lays down some killer riffs, which you'll hear in this track. And that's kind of a pun because Rat has a song called Lay It Down, which I honestly think is better than Round and Round. But Round and Round is maybe a little bit more important to the glam metal meta than this song.
Yeah, well, actually, I would say that Round and Round was the song that broke Rat. When I say broke, I mean broke them into the mainstream. It actually got played on some of the top 40 stations, and you know, they hit it big. But like you said, there's another band that ruled the LA metal scene, and that was Motley Crue. But we'll talk about them later. You know, as an interesting aside, I saw Rat at a nightclub in Baltimore back in 1984 called Coast to Coast. It no longer exists now, but it was $2 a ticket for to see Rat as the headline act.
I don't think $2 could even buy you a pack of gum now. But we are right after Round and Round. We're going to go right into Cold Blood by Kix. Kix is actually a local band. They were based in Hagerstown in Frederick. And my dad actually heard their final performance ever from Meriwether Post Pavilion when taking out the trash at our grandmother's house.
The interesting story about that is my mother lives in Columbia, Maryland, and Meriwether Post Pavilion is in Columbia, Maryland. And if the wind is just right, you can hear music from the venue from her front porch. And I was taking out the trash, and I was the M3 concert was playing in Meriwether, and I was like, wow, wait a minute, I know that song. And Steve Whiteman and Kix were belting out The Itch.
We are going to be playing Cold Blood, however, and that is off of their album Blow My Fuse, which ended up really breaking the band.
Away.
Interestingly, hair metal doesn't have a contemporary mainstream counterpart, I should say. And it's kind of curious because hair metal was really... Oh, I'm calling it hair metal. Meant to say earlier, hair metal is kind of a derogatory term that arose in the 90s. It's used interchangeably with glam metal, and I decided I wasn't going to use it, but it does slip out every now and then. So, anyway, glam metal or hair metal died in the early 90s because of a little something I call Nirvana killed my career. And that is when Nirvana came out with Nevermind in 91. The grunge explosion began, and then all of a sudden, everything that had come out before that seemed obsolete. So, I don't know. Glam metal really died a very quick and painful death, I would say, because a lot of these bands, they still tour, which is really awesome, but their new releases haven't really stood the test of time, I would say.
Yeah. To piggyback on what you're saying, it's kind of funny how in the early to mid, you know, probably even to the late 80s, heavy metal was on top. I mean, from a radio perspective, from selling out, you know, just from a popularity perspective. And then, you know, early 90s, like you said, it was the grunge explosion that more or less killed heavy metal, and it went down, but back to the metal, there are two bands that we're going to be playing back to back, and interestingly enough, Ariana and I saw these two bands about 3 months ago in New Jersey. They shared the same stage. It was LA Guns, and they opened for Tom Kiefer, and Tom Kiefer was really the brains and brawn behind Cinderella. So
that is correct. And the band is called LA Guns, but the lead singer, Phil Lewis, he's actually British. So when we were watching them perform live and he took a break between songs to address the crowd, I really genuinely thought he was putting on a fake accent until I pulled out my phone and looked it up, and sure enough, yes, he is from the UK, but he's the only member of LA Guns that is not American. Funny enough, Axl Rose also sang for this band in 84, fun fact. And one other thing about LA Guns, which I think is really funny, all of the members look just like Tommy Lee, the drummer from Motley Crue. So I call them Tommy Lee the singer, Tommy Lee the bassist, Tommy Lee the guitarist, etc., etc. And then last,
if you go and you Google or you search YouTube for what song was it that we were looking at, and we were like, every single one of them looked like Tommy Lee.
Actually, that song is the song we're about to play, Never Enough. So if you look up the music video, you'll see what we're talking about. And then the Cinderella song that we have selected is Gypsy Road, which really shows off Cinderella's bluesy edge.
We'll be right back.
All right, I think I've finally recovered from being locked out of the building and starting late. So just a PSA, we'll be going overtime today because we have not yet gotten to my favorite song that I've picked out. But here's a link between the next band and one we already talked about, the second lead guitarist of Rat, Robin Crosby, and David Coverdale, the lead singer of Whitesnake, dated the same girl. Tawny Catane is her name. She is pictured on Rat's Invasion of Your Privacy album cover, which is actually what Round and Round is from. And she ended up marrying David Coverdale later. And technically, Whitesnake is British metal, but I wanted to include them just because their music and image is kind of similar enough to glam.
Yeah, and so David Coverdale is the lead singer for Whitesnake, and I knew him from his Deep Purple days. He replaced Ian Gillan when in Deep Purple, and I won't go too far down that rabbit hole, but David Coverdale was just seen as a good vocalist, but he wasn't necessarily considered handsome. He had a massive glow up after Whitesnake became big and became, did modeling and so forth. But Whitesnake, was really kind of a bluesy band. And the song that we're going to play, Fool for Your Loving, was originally from one of their earlier albums. I remember when it first came out in 1980. It might have been on the radio once or twice, but then after Whitesnake hit it big in the late 80s, they re-released it and it became a much more popular song. I think it was like 88 or 89.
Yeah, and then in terms of the lineup of the band itself, a lot of really, really great guitarists ended up playing for Whitesnake, like Vivian Campbell, who went on to play for Dio's band and Def Leppard later, and John Sykes with his side project Blue Murder, which I highly recommend checking out. And then Rudy Sarzo, the bassist who played in literally every metal band ever, just to list a few: Quiet Riot, Ozzy Osbourne's solo band, Dio, Jeff Tate's Queensryche. Very excited to talk about Queensryche. That will be another episode. And then finally, my favorite thing about Whitesnake is that they're kind of the king of innuendos. If you go look at some of their album titles and song titles, it's kind of funny. But then other times, they're just straight up not even innuendos anymore. And they're just, you can't really ignore it. It's kind of in your face.
And it's all sexual innuendos.
Of course. What else? Mm-hmm. Here's Fool for Your Loving.
Left out in the cold,
Time to introduce the band that was number one on the PMRC's hit list, WASP. What is the PMRC? The PMRC was an offshoot of the government that was established by Tipper Gore, Al Gore's wife. Who was Al Gore in the government at the time?
The vice president.
There you go. So it was a bunch of these very famous politicians' wives. They all got together and they created a list called the Filthy 15 of songs that they deemed inappropriate to be aired or for anybody's listening. This song, the song Annabelle by WASP, ended up on that list. I cannot say the rest of the title on air, but it is a great song and it's off of a great album. Let's see. WASP's stage antics were what got them in trouble, I would say, on top of their more explicit lyrics. They would throw raw meat into the crowd, they would like mimic torture, and they would cover themselves in fake blood, all of that kind of stuff.
Women in skimpy clothes.
Yeah.
That's hand-in-hand with most metal bands, though.
Especially glam metal. But the lead singer, Blackie Lawless, he has quite the stage presence. And I would highly suggest watching some of their live performances or their music videos, and then you'll see what I'm talking about. This is Wild Child.
We'll be right back.
Finally, the moment I've been waiting for all show, I get to introduce Dokken. This is my favorite glam metal band for multiple reasons, but the main reason is Don Dokken's voice and George Lynch's playing together. They hated each other. They were at each other's throats constantly, but the stuff that they made was truly amazing. They literally got into arguments on stage. They like fought behind stage. They fought on stage, whatever. So George Lynch ended up actually leaving Dokken to form Lynch Mob. So that's a plus. Their feud lasted decades long, but maybe they finally reconciled because they're performing together for a few dates now.
Yeah, and speaking of those few dates, they're going to be playing in February in Vegas, and Ari and I are going to actually fly out there to see them. You know, the reunion of Don Dokken and George Lynch and the, you know, the classic lineup of Dokken.
Yeah, and so for the song that I picked out, In My Dreams, it's really a standout in Dokken's discography. It's got this three-layered vocal harmony a cappella beginning. It'll hit you just like a ton of bricks right off the bat. And I'm also happy because this is going to fall within the hour, so it will make it into the Stream Ripper. But like I said, we will be going overtime, so unfortunately it will not be in the recorded version of the show, or the end of it at least. But we'll get right into it, and then we'll go ahead and talk about the last two tracks.